Blog Talk The number you have Radio. Dialed has not been recognized. Please try again.
Good afternoon, everyone. This is your host, Salita McCall, and I am here.
The number you have dialed has not been recognized.
Excuse me, you guys. We're having some technical difficulties.
Good afternoon.
I'm sorry. I am totally sorry. I'm having some problems here. I apologize for that. We're here today. We got some time mixed up on our guest that's supposed to be being interviewed today, Ms. Gina Carey. So please bear with me. In the meantime, I'm going to play some of her songs while I try to contact her. She's in California, and we're in Louisiana, so our times are kind of different, and we might have gotten our times confused a little bit. So just bear with me. She will be here. In the meantime, I'm going to play you one of her songs.
Like a queen,
a strong,
my hero,
I respect you.
Miss Carrie on the line, waiting for her to answer.
Hello.
Hello, Miss Carrie. How are you?
How are you?
I love the song.
Thank you. That's off of my last album.
Uh-huh. Well, when I got the download, I just started uploading the songs that I saw. I said, oh, my God. Then I found I found one of your older songs when you were Gina Green. Oh, my God. It's like, oh, my God, this takes me all the way back to, I mean, I love songs like that. So you've been in the business for a long time, huh?
Girl, yes.
For a
long time. Oh man. Okay. I've been actually performing. My first album was released in 1996, and that was a gospel release called In Its Time, under Great Tree Records actually.
Mm-hmm.
And from there, I've just been going on to do other projects, and pretty much that's where my foundation. That's where my start came from.
Uh huh. And let's see. So, when you write, now tell me. Well, first of all, let's talk a little bit about you yourself. What inspired you to continue to do this? I mean, you could have went into any other profession. What made you continue to do the singing and the performing?
Mm-hmm.
What kept you motivated?
Well, you know what, pretty much from the time that I was a child, I was always drawn to music. And then my dad, who was also a singer, was, the person who actually got me, pushed me at my younger years, And so, that's, I'm sorry, I was at the grocery store here. I'm sorry, girl, I just keep it real. Okay, yeah, she can have them. I'm sorry. They're asking me, do I want my stamps at, those little stamps that they collect at the grocery store at Albertsons. And I don't collect them, so I'm letting the lady over here in the line have mine.
See, you already have a kind heart in you already. That is so wonderful. You know what's so amazing about radio?
Yeah, I'm sorry. Okay, now we're on the right page here. Okay, so yeah, my dad actually was the one who inspired me to start singing and performing at a young age. He was my biggest inspiration, and he used to have me singing in church when I was little. And when I was younger, I didn't want to sing because I would get embarrassed. And he has this little bitty, like karaoke machine, and we were standing in front of the church, and the microphone was horrible. And he would just traumatize me and say, "My daughter, she's gonna get up," and I'm like, "Oh man!" And it was like those old, you remember those old cassette tapes that we saw at the Christian bookstore, and you would sing. I would do it like Denise Williams. She had some gospel, "They Say" and stuff, and he would have me sitting up doing some of them old songs. Some of the ones that Jimmy Swaggart used to sing, and my sisters would laugh at me because, that's not really popular when you have sisters and stuff, and they're seeing you, standing up in church, and you have to sing the old songs, and they'd be laughing at me, and I'd be so embarrassed. But my dad believed in me, and he really was my motivating factor. And then from there, I just developed a love and a desire, to do music and to sing. It's just, it was just a great, this thing for me. And it became, as I got older, an outlet to express my anxiety, my hurts, my pains, my testimony, whatever I wanted to say and speak to the world. It became a therapeutic thing for me. And I think that's what continued to drive me even more, was the message that I was able to write music to inspire and encourage people.
Oh, man, that is awesome. Now, where are you originally from?
Chicago. I was born in Chi-Town, and my parents moved to California when I was probably around 2 or 3 years old. My earliest childhood memories of Chicago, I remember being in the stroller, and it was snowing, and my grandmother took us to the mailbox. And I remember I can only see out of my eyes, and I remember it was snowing, and that's like my earliest childhood memory of being in Chicago in the snow.
Hello? I think, hello?
Okay.
Hello?
I can barely hear you.
Okay, I'm sorry.
There you go.
I'm sorry. Yeah, I just got it. I'm sorry. This cell phone.
That's all right. That's fine. That is fine. Like I said, when you're in radio and you're interviewing somebody that's not sitting in front of you, you could be anywhere. So.
Yeah. I'm like, I just going to be like, oh, my gosh, I can't believe this Gina Carey. I'm over here doing, I'm doing everything. I'm just like a Renaissance woman here.
No, that's all right. That's all right. You know, look, you might be over there signing autographs. I don't know.
I know. I know. I'm so down to earth. I'm just over here. I had to get some groceries today, so. But anyway.
Is anybody staring at you?
Girl, they were at first, but I'm you know, anything goes in America, especially in California, you know. It's like, okay, whatever. Oh, man, I'm having a great time, though.
Well, when you were talking, I was like, she's in the grocery store? Yeah, I
And you know, I'm trying to play it off here. I said, okay, I'm doing this interview, and then the lady, she keeps asking about these darn stamps. I'm trying to play it off, and so I just had to let the cat out the bag. So
that's all right, Susie. Do your thing.
Okay. Do all right, girl. Thing. Okay, back at the music.
I'm not dead. Okay, now let's talk about the ideal that. In 2012, you did the jazz music?
Yes.
You won the board. Talk about
yes.
that.
Okay. In 2012, there was a competition. It was through one of the local radio stations, FM radio station out here. And in Los Angeles, they have a radio station called 94.7 The Wave. It's a smooth jazz radio station that's quite popular. And so that's this station out here, the sister station to that station. And they were running a competition, a video, it was called the Jazz Video Music Award. It was like their first year. And so I said, I'm not really a competition person. I'm not at all. I don't like competitions, so I don't never join. But it wasn't anything where I would have to sing against anybody. So all you had to do was pretty much submit your music video, and the judges would judge it based off of that. So I figured, okay, well, you know, it doesn't hurt me anything to just drop it on, you know, their Facebook site like they asked me to do. It's not going to hurt me. If they don't pick me, it's no embarrassment. It's no, you know, feeling anyway or whatever. I just didn't get picked. So I just said, you know what, I'll just do it. So I did it. I didn't think anything of it. And then I get this phone call, and they said, well, you've been nominated. I said, I've been what? Look, you've been nominated. I'm like, oh, my God. and so they said, well, you have to be here on this and such time. So I was really excited, and it was at a place that they have a lot of A-list artists frequent the area over in Indio. It's called Fantasy Springs. And, in fact, Neil just performed there. And so when they all come out, Gladys Knight and all, and they perform there. And this is where they held the event. So it was two other girls that were in my category. And they had, you know, other categories, country and all that. And then I performed. And then they picked me. And so I won. And I was like, so it was like one of those, those blessing moments in my life where, you know, I was like, gosh, you're so amazing, you know, because, I mean, I never would have thought, I just never would have thought I would have won. It's just something that is just never, you know, I just do music, and I do it because I love it, but I guess I just never thought that I would, you know, anything amazing would happen for me, you know. I didn't even think about it. I just do what I do, you know. So it was like just one of those things that just happened to me that I didn't know would happen.
So after that, what happened after that? Once you won, what did they do with you then?
Well, they announced it, and then you know, of course, there was that moment of euphoria and happiness, and then they presented me with a beautiful award. It was really, really pretty, and so, you know, just went out and celebrated with my husband, and just you know, what it did for me inside, it just made me feel that that there is some value in what I do, because I just don't think about it. You know, I just do it, and you know, you have people that think, oh yes, I'm so great, you know, I'm just all wonderful and all marvelous and stuff. And it's not that I don't think that about myself. I just don't think about getting out there to try to be the best. I just do what I do, and I just feel like God has given so many people talent, and we all do what we do, and we do it because we love it. So I never think about the rewards of it. I just do it just to do it and touch people. I love touching people and meeting people and, you know, using the gift to be a blessing to people, and that's where my heart is, you know. So when I, you know, to win something like that, it was just really, really an amazing moment for me. It just did something just so marvelous. It's like, okay, you know, there is a little value in what you have, you know, so it was great. It was one of those great moments of my life, you know.
And another thing, when you were describing yourself, and you're like a person, you don't always like people to, you like compliments, but you don't see it as a compliment. It's who you are. Your music is who you are, right? Is that what you're saying?
Yes.
So go ahead.
Oh no, go ahead.
No, I was just saying when you were saying that, I was saying, okay, I see what she's saying. She's she's basically saying, this is who I am. So it's like getting up and putting on my clothes every day. I don't see it as anything else. I just like to be able to give that gift to someone else. You know, share it with others. Because it's who I am. Yeah.
Okay. Yes. That's
like
definitely
that.
That's definitely how I approach it.
I like that.
Yes. I am as wonderful.
I'm going to play your song "Love Me Too," okay?
Oh, okay. All right, I love that one. That's good. That's gonna be a fun one.
Okay.
Okay.
Okay, you guys, that was Love Me Too by Gina Carey. We have her here today on Blog Talk Radio on the Say Your Peace Radio Network with your host, Salita. All right, Miss Carey, now, I was just reading while I was listening to the lovely song that, tell me what happened in 2007.
In 2000, okay. Well, that's the year that I received, you said 2007?
Yes.
That's the year that I received the Black Music Award. I was nominated for two, for I believe it was Best Gospel Artist Female, and there was another one, and I don't quite remember what it was. It was two of them, but I won Best Gospel Performer, and that was for my album, I believe it was Tell 'Em.
Mm-hmm.
It was a gospel album. And so that was a really, really, that was another great moment.
Now,
yeah.
You auditioned during that time. Also, you auditioned for, Apollo, Showtime at the Apollo?
Yeah, I did. I had auditioned, and actually, I went down there. I was having one of those moments where I was like, okay, you know, let me just go down and just experience it. So I went down there to experience it, sit in line, went over there and sang for them, and they invited me to be on the show. And I was like, okay, they called me back, but I never did go because during the time, I couldn't get away from the things that I had to, you know, do at that time, so I just didn't go. And then, you know, everything wasn't lining up and you know, right for me to get from here at that particular time, so I just declined it, you know.
Yeah, exactly. That happens. I mean, you look where you're at now, and it's not like it stopped you from doing what you're doing. You just had to make a change. You had to make it's a major decision you had to make, and then accept the change that had to come with that decision.
Yes.
Awesome.
Yes.
Awesome. Awesome. Awesome.
Yeah.
Now, BET. Let's talk about BET in 2008. What happened with BET in 2008?
Yes, I had an album. It was called My Journey, and I had some friends of mine. They produced a video for me, and so, by being on YouTube, I was contacted by someone at BETJ, and they said that they would like to play it on their morning cup show. So that was another great moment for me. You know, of course, being an independent artist and not having a major backing behind you, you just don't think those things can happen. But I've always been an artist that believe in taking my career into my hands and you know, having my hands on it. So, you know, that was just like, wow, okay. So I sit on the video, and I had the opportunity to have my music video aired on BETJ, the Morning Cup show. So that was great. That was a really wonderful moment for me.
Oh, man, awesome. Now, I'm like sitting here like, I don't know, I mean, you've done so much. I mean, man. And, you know, do you enjoy being the person in control of your career? Because some people rather somebody else do it.
No, I have been accused of being an artist that is unmanageable. and not in the fact because of my personality, not that. It's because it's almost like the only way I can describe it is that, you know how there are some children and they're latchkey kids and their parents, they work many, many hours a day, and they're so used to being at home. So, like, say somebody might come and babysit them, and they might try to baby them, and they go, I already know how to do that. They're like, I don't need you to cook. I can cook my own food. They're like, okay. They're like, well, why? We already do that. We know how to do that. My mom doesn't care. We can do that. And it's more like that. It's just that because I've been put in a position where I have not had the major backing behind me, and I had the decision to make. Either I sit back and be the person that is inferior and saying, okay, I can't do anything unless somebody help me. I can't. Or if I really, really want to sing, I'm going to have to learn how to do it myself, you know, until or unless somebody can come around and do more for me than I can actually do for myself. So I just learned how to do those things. And, you know, and then the more I learned, you know, I started, you know, just keep going. I just kept going. I wrote my own stuff, did my own background, did my own leads, and, you know, then learning how to become a music producer and working on Logic on the computer and editing and you know, and mixing and then mastering and then doing all my marketing and promotion and, you know, building websites and, you know, and then I just started doing everything and I just became that artist that is all around. I can take a project from an idea that I have all the way to fruition and promote it.
You sound like... it's like you're talking to the choir because you just like me. That's how I am. I might be considered unmanageable too because I'm the type of person, you want to learn something, you do it. You don't have to always have somebody standing over your shoulder and telling you, no, this is the way you need to do it. No, this is what's in my mind and in my heart, and this is how I'm going to do it. Yeah. You know? And it's not that you're unmanageable. You're who you are. That's a strong person who's in control of their career. It has nothing to do with you being... That sounds like, you know, when you say manageable, it's like you're a little kid.
Yeah, exactly.
And upholding and all this. Yeah. No, you're not. You're a person who you're very free and you want to do what makes you happy and this is the way you want to do it. And if nothing wrong with that, that's a blessing
and then
in itself.
Yeah, and I think another thing as well is that being an independent artist, you do when you don't have you know, someone to really kind of look out for you. You have a lot of wolves in sheep clothing that approach you throughout your career, and I have had people in my past because I have been performing and singing for so many years. I've met people, and I'm sure at the beginning there were good intentions.
Mm-hmm.
But no, I've met people who tried to take advantage, or people who have promised me things and didn't follow through, or maybe producers that, you know, in the past that came into my life that, you know, were offer you this contract that you can't, you know, you don't have the money to afford this lawyer to look it over, and it's this big contract and there's all this crazy stuff in there, you know, and it's just all of this, and you just kind of get to the point, you says, okay, I have to learn how to be protective of myself as well, you know, and sometimes it's not that you don't want to trust people, but there are some people out there that are not well-intentioned, and you have to, as an artist, as a person, you have to be protective of yourself and your career, because if you're too trusting to everybody and you just put your dream, this is, you know, being an artist is your dream. This is something that it's a special gift that God entrusts in all of us, that we have a gift. And this is your passion. And when it comes to your passion, you've got to be very, very careful who comes into your life and attaches himself onto that passion, because it could turn into a nightmare for you. And I don't want it to be a nightmare. I want it to be something that, you know, is fun and that I enjoy, you know. So I feel safe when my career is in my hands. It just makes me feel safe.
Yeah, and you know, you said that, and sometimes people want to come into your life to sabotage what you have going because they don't have the same thing going. And they don't want to see you happy. How dare you? How dare you be on the stage and perform in front of thousands and thousands of people, and I can't do it? You know, and that's something I think everybody has to work with when it comes to choosing the people you want in your circle. You know, we have to be careful with that, just like you said. It's very important, especially in the business that you're in. I mean, I hear so many horror stories with people who want to do that, to do just what you're doing. And then you got to understand, a lot of times people didn't know anything about being an indie artist.
Yes.
They didn't know that, you know. And now it's a big thing now, you know.
Yeah.
To be on your own.
Oh, of course. Yes. And, you know, the funny thing about it, Sarita, is that, you know, sometimes people will ask me, I've had people approach me on my Facebook, and, you know, they drop off their names and they say, oh, you know, do you want to sign on this major deal and I know these people? And then I politely tell them, thank you so much, but no thank you, and they are so thrown back. I had one guy hang up on me. He called me, contacted me, and, you know, he presented all these big names and who he's worked with for all these big major companies and everything. And he says, you know, your voice, you sound like this person or that person. And you know, and I can't believe nobody is you know, found you, and I want to do this and that. And, I would love to, you know, hook up with you and get you signed to this major label and stuff. And I said, thank you. I said, but I'm not interested. And he hung up on me on the phone. And I'm not interested. I don't care about fame, and I don't care about fortune. I really don't. I just do this because I love it. I just, you know, I love being an independent artist, and I love the freedom because I can, you know, me being a woman who has moral values and, you know, the way I was taught, my dad was a pastor, you know, he raised me up to have a relationship with the Lord in my life, and I truly, truly want to be able to be that woman and do what I do, but be able to do it with me keeping the values systems that I have and sacrificing who I am and who God made me to be and the role model that I want to be to young women. If sacrificing that for fame and fortune has to be the price, then I don't want to pay that price.
Exactly.
That price is too big. Awesome. I would rather do what I'm doing and be able to touch lives than where I am than to be big, famous, and popular and, you know, and sell my soul. I don't want to do that. That's not for me. So I don't really care, you know, who would offer that. I just love what I do. I love being an independent artist, you know.
You said something so profound. You said you're not looking for the fame and all the, you know, the attention and the money. You're not looking for that. And it
right.
goes back to what you said earlier about who you are. This is who
yes.
I am. This is what I like to do. And when you have that attitude, I think people who have that type of attitude, they become more successful in their lives. I've seen them, some of these artists, arrogant, cocky, mean, and hateful. It's like it takes over them and it changes them. And it might have a lot to do with their, you know, what they've been through to get where they're at. I can understand that. But your fans are your fans. Without your fans, you won't make any money. You have to, and sometimes I think they don't understand it. Nobody's going to buy your records if you treat your fans like crap. You know what I'm saying? Because without them, even though you want to perform, that's fine. But without them, you who's listening? You know what I'm saying? Who's buying the tickets?
Yes. Exactly. And, you know, and the thing is, you know, I usually, I even like refer to, you know, a lot of people say your fans, but I call them supporters. And it's okay to call them, but I just call them people who support what I'm doing. They're my supporters, just as I'm someone else's supporter. You know, because I always tell people all the time, like even on my Facebook, I drop messages and I tell them, I say, you know what, God has given all of us a gift. Everybody, he has entrusted gifts to all men. But it's what you do with it. Some people take that gift and they say, okay, I know I have this, but, you know, I'm not going to do anything with it. And, you know, and they're just fine with just, you know, working an everyday, you know, 9-to-5 job. And then there's some people that say, okay, yes, I have a 9-to-5 job, but I know that God has given me a gift and I'm going to act upon it. So we all, you know, to me, God is a big I and we're all the little U's. There's no, in my eyes, there's no one that's better than each other. I know society puts everyone in classes, and if you're, you know, if you're A-list, you know, you're to be looked upon and gazed upon as you're so much better, or if you're right here, you're so much less, or, you know, but I don't look at myself as any, you know, even the person on the street, you know, the homeless person, I don't feel that I'm better than anybody. I don't feel I'm too good to touch anybody. I just know that God has given me a gift, but God has given everybody a gift. We all have something that is so amazing and special that God has entrusted to us. It's just that some of us will go on and we'll find it and we'll use it and we'll cultivate it, and then some people just are not, you know, too excited about utilizing it, but they're no less. Or nobody's any better. So I don't like calling people, you know, my, to me, you know, I know that's what the name people call it. But for me, there's just people who have supported, and, you know, they love, you know, hear my music, and they support my music, or they encourage me and everything, and vice versa. If I hear anything good happening for them, I support them, I encourage them, you know, and that's just the way I look at it. And I think no matter how God allows me to be elevated in my life to whatever level, I will always look at people as valuable. You know, that is so valuable to me. You know, God's people is so valuable. I love hugging and touching and reaching people and using my gift to touch. And that's what it's about for me.
And, yeah, you know, that is so right. And, you know, society has totally done a change on us. They've individualized us. We're no longer in the loving family way as much as we used to. Society has made it where there is a separatism there, and it's about I, and
instead of us,
and it's kind of hurt. It's kind of hurting how we're able to take care of each other, you know.
Yes.
I'm getting ready to play your Songbird real quick, okay?
Okay. Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome.
You are. me feel so good inside. You make me smile.
Another nice, I like that.
Girl, I'm over here jamming. I'm over here like, dang, I haven't heard that in a long time. I want to jam. I'm about to go over here and start doing me a little cha-cha here. I'm
yeah,
like, hey.
Bring back the memories, huh?
Girl, I'm over here jamming. I'm like, who is that?
It's you, babe.
I know, that's what I was laughing. I was like, I did that. I'm such a jam.
I see a couple of more I'm going to play before we finish this that I like.
Look, okay.
When you write, tell me about when you write. What inspires you? What motivates you to write when it comes to the songs?
Well, you know what? It's different things. I think different seasons in my life as my career has progressed, I've been through different things in my life. And every time I go through something, I'm inspired to write about it. You know, when there's pain in my life, I've written about it. You know, when I want to talk about, you know, what I'm feeling on the inside or different things and changes that God is doing in my life, and I sing about those things. And recently, about 3 years ago, I got remarried, and so I fell in love, and I would say probably from Melodic, which was in 2011, up until then, all of those songs have just been talking about love and just being inspired by the relationship that my husband and I have. And he really, really is an amazing man, and I've never experienced any you know, one to love me the way he loves me as my husband. And so the songs that I've written are inspired by the relationship that we have between the two of us. So I write them to my husband, and they're my personal love letters to him. And so as other people hear them, you know, hopefully they will become their, you know, someone else's love letters to their loved one. So, you know, yeah, so that was my...
That's awesome, because you know what, too, you're saying something that you probably don't realize, but it's very profound what you're saying, because we don't love when it comes to the husband and wife, you know, especially with the African-American family. People always think there's fighting, there's cussing, there's cheating, and that's not all necessarily true about it, but that's what society sees us as. When you say, I love my husband, it's not that you're just saying it to say it. It's really what you really do. I love my husband, for real, you know.
Yes.
And we don't have that, you know.
Yes.
It's just amazing the formation or the way people see us. They don't see us being able to be a happy family. And
exactly.
I don't know why. I don't understand that.
No, I totally understand, and I think that's one of the purposes that God has given myself. My husband and I, we perform, you know, regularly together at, you know, local venues. We gig regularly out here in the desert where I live. And you know, he plays guitar, and he's been playing for quite some time. He's probably open for every, you know, major jazz artist, smooth jazz artist that's even out there. So he's pretty much, you know, been out there for a while, and we kind of play together almost kind of like Evelyn Champagne King and her husband. We kind of do a dual thing like that. And it's just amazing how God uses us when we do sing our songs and we do our love songs, because so many marriages are just like reignited. You know, but when they see our interaction with each other, you know, on the stage, and they say, wow, look at you guys, your chemistry is so amazing, and when you guys play, we can really tell that you love each other, and that is real, and the stuff that you're singing, and we've had couples that have cried and say, you know what, you guys just touch us, and girl, I get emotional myself, I'm like, and it's just like, wow, you know, I mean, God can use us, and they'll come and say, you know what, you guys talk about something so different than a lot of artists do. You guys express love and loving, you know, for each other, and you guys are kind to us, and you hug us, and, you know, it's something different. And we're like, that's because we have the Lord in our life. We could not do that without him, and I think that's what the difference is, you know. But, you know, I'm just grateful. I'm grateful to, you know, to be able to do that.
it's to the point where we don't, as long as we have somebody that we see and they're not pretending, because, you know, we live in a world of fake and people pretend that they do things. when you have someone who's representing who they truly are, and if you're a spiritual person, you're going to pick that up in them.
Yes,
and
exactly.
And you're going to know that they're genuine on what they're saying to you, and they're real. And it's hard to find that in a lot of people. But I will say this, and I'm saying it here on the radio, your spirit is definitely who you are. And I'm just telling you that. Your spirit is definitely who you are. You're not fake.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
What you're saying to me. I'm serious. I'm not just saying that because I have you on here. I'm saying it from my heart because it's the truth. You are.
Thank you. Thank you so much. I appreciate that. Thank you.
Now, I'm going to play a little bit of This Joy from Miss Nina Carey.
Joy.
right, you guys. That was Miss Gina Carey and This Joy. Let me tell you something.
Yes.
I was playing, I'm in my car. It's blasting. I'm driving down the road on my way, so I don't know where.
I was like, I was Leo dancing.
I was too. I'm glad. Look, I'm glad we're not on video because it's good.
That's so funny. Oh, girl, go ahead, girl.
Now, I'm listening to your voice. Now, let me say this, you guys, if you don't know, she compared to Stephanie Mills. I don't know if anybody's familiar with Stephanie, but to me, you do. You sound a little bit like Stephanie Mills. Do you get that a lot?
Yes, a lot of people, and you know what, I really, really find that as a compliment. I really do, because Stephanie Mills is a phenomenal vocalist, vocalist. And so, yeah, that is a compliment.
Yes, I was like, wait a minute, am I listening to Gina or am I listening to Stephanie? Which one? Stephanie sounds just like her. I'm going to play one more before I let you go, okay? Just a second.
Okay.
This is with you.
You always make me smile, oh boy, that's what you do.
right. I like that one, too. There you go. There
thank you. Thank you. You are so funny. Thank you.
You're welcome. I'm sorry. My mic fell. Are you still there? Hello? Hello? Oh, you guys. Her call just dropped. Oh, I am so sorry. Let's see if we can get her back one more time. We got time. I'm going to try to get her back. Just one second.
Okay. I don't know. What happened here?
I'm like, wait a minute. I'm not finished with you. Look, you can't leave me.
I know. No, I don't know what happened. I said, oh, well, I guess our call got lost in cyberspace. It's floating somewhere out there. I'm like, okay.
It said the call dropped. I'm like, hold on. Wait a minute. I'm not finished with her.
Oh, my gosh. That is so funny. Okay. We're keeping it real on this show today, huh?
Definitely. Definitely. I have to be that way. I don't know any other way to be.
That's right, girl. That's right.
Look, okay. Before I let you go, I want the audience to know where we can get your CDs, where we can get a chance to probably even see you perform.
Okay.
And what are you doing now and in the future?
Okay. My website is Gina, G-I-N-A, Carey, C-A-R-E-Y.net. And on that website, I usually keep it updated with all of my performance dates and everything. Locally, out in located out in the Palm Desert, California area. And I do perform around town, so if they go on my website, they'll be able to keep up with my calendar and see where I'm at, you know, at the different on the different days. Where I'm headed here, I'm going to be, you know, continuing to work on new albums. I won't be doing another one until 2014 because I released my new CD, Soul Rhythm and Funk. that one was released in, September. And so I'm going to take a break and enjoy the holidays with my husband and then resume next year with a new album. So right now I'm working on my own television show to help other independent artists that are out there aspiring. And I'm really excited about that. It's going to be premiering in January. So there are going to be webisode series about up-and-coming and aspiring artists telling their story. It's called Tell My Story. So I'm really excited about that.
Man, awesome.
Yeah. And so, you know, that's going to be a wonderful thing for January. So it's a lot of great things that are going to be happening that I'm always looking forward to moving to the next level in my life, you know, and seeing what else there is out there for me to do. You just stay busy, you know. I just don't stop.
Yes. You know what? Sometimes when you stop, you feel like everything is going to fall apart if you just stay still for just a second.
Yeah, I know. And you know what? People always tell me, oh, you know, you should just relax. And you shouldn't, but you know, and I tell people, I says, you know what, every single day you live in your bucket list, because everybody always waits and they think when they get 60 years old, they go, oh, I'll put my bucket list together. I tell them, you know what, whatever it is that you want to do, whatever it is that you aspire to become, you do it now. When you wake up in the morning and you have breath in your body and your heart is beating, you can walk on your legs and you can use your brain to think properly and you can speak properly. That is another day that God has blessed you to fulfill your dreams. Don't wait until tomorrow, because tomorrow is not promised to no man. Today is your bucket list. You are living it right now, this second. So I tell people,
so you go
out, pursue your dreams, your love. Don't wait until, because good and bad things happen to good and bad people. It doesn't matter. You have good people that do people wrong, and great things. You turn around like, it looks like, boy, they're just prosperous and they're so blessed and all these great things, and you see somebody that's doing so much for someone and they get cancer. But you know what? It's also bad people that get, you know, bad things happen to, and good people that great things happen to. So we're all human, and life happens to everybody. But the thing is the game of life is that you don't know when your number is going to be called. So don't wait. Don't play a gamble, a Russian roulette with your dream. Live your dream now. If you have breath in your body, you get that pen and paper out and start writing out your dreams. Start writing out your goals. And don't worry about the big money that you need to accomplish that. Just take one baby step in front of you. Start researching and go online. Find out what you need to do. Write it down. Just do one little thing. Don't close your eyes until you do one thing in that day to fulfill your purpose in life.
Oh, that was so awesome. I love that.
And I get a witness. Girl, talk to me. They're going to have to get somebody to buy an album. Pay my record. I'm done. Go support me. I'm a working class musician out here. I need your support. So just please go support my album and you'll hear the real voice. Okay. Yes, yeah, support me if you can. Yeah, please don't pass it by. Please don't pass my table by. And you know they always pass it by, girl, but you just got to put one out there anyway. You know, you got five of them on the table, and you end up with 10 left on the table. Just keeping it real, you know. But that's okay. You know, you have to do what you do for the love of it, and that's what it's all about. I probably give more away than I sell, but that's okay. You know, I love it. I love what I do.
Oh, that was so sweet. I love that. So, what we're going to have to do is once you start your television program, we need to
okay.
Come back. I would love to bring you back up here, and you can kind of fill us in and what's going on with that.
Thank you so much. I would love to do that.
Thank you for coming on the show. You were a great guest. You will definitely be coming back. I will definitely still connect with you after we get off of the radio. I want to continue to connect with you and keep up with what you're doing so we can, you know, let the audience know what you're up to, okay?
Thank you. And can I just give a quick little shout-out? Is that okay? I just want to tell my husband, John Kerry, that I love him with all of my heart. I want to give a shout-out to him and my son, Corey, and I love you too, sweetheart. And I want to thank God for my wonderful publicist, Daoud. He's amazing, and I'm just so grateful. He's just been such a blessing in my life, helping me along the way. So I just want to give a shout-out. So.
Awesome. Thank you.
And I
want
to
so
thank
much.
You, sweetheart. You're wonderful, and I appreciate you allowing me to be on this show. I feel so honored and privileged to be a part of this, and thank you so much for agreeing to interview me and to help me get my music out. I really am grateful, and I pray God's blessings for you.
Thank you very much, and thank you. You're welcome for everything. You've done a great job. I love this. This was so fun. And I want you
thank
to
you.
Have a blessed day, a blessed Thanksgiving, a blessed Christmas. And
yeah, I will.
Give me a little, look, before you go, give me a little note. I just need a little note.
Okay, let's see here. Have yourself a merry little Christmas. May your days be bright. From now on, your troubles will be out of sight. So have yourself a merry Christmas and a happy Thanksgiving, and have a lot of mac and cheese.
Okay.
Okay, sir.
Ha ha ha.
right, dear.
You guys, that was Miss Gina Carey. Oh, my God. We had a great time. And I hope you guys all enjoyed the show. I love doing this. She sounds so much like me and a lot of things that she said. And like I said before, and I don't mind saying it, she seems like she has a heart for what she does. And it's not about just getting on stage and making the money. It's about what's inside her. And she looks at it as an everyday thing for her to do. It's who she is. And I think with that kind of spirit, she's going to go far. She's already gone far. She's going to go further because she looks at it in that way. And like I said, I love supporting people. I love giving them a platform. That's just who I am. I love giving back. And I think she's an awesome lady. Just, I mean, I had a great time. I hope you guys did too. I want to thank everyone who listened in. I want to thank everyone who just took time out of their day. See what we were up to, because a lot of people do that just to be nosy. But I'm glad you're being nosy. We have another guest coming in Tuesday and Wednesday. I have to double check and make sure everything is kosher on that end over there. But definitely we'll be back Wednesday. Tuesday, I think we'll be back at 6. And Wednesday, we'll be back at 7. You guys are going to be surprised, okay? I want to thank you guys for listening in. This has been Salita, your host with Say Your Peace Network on Blog Talk Radio. And goodbye.